Dylan. All right. I hope you're ready tonight. We may hear you were, if you were in the auditorium this morning or in the Spanish church, we had two of the missionaries we'll hear a little bit from tonight again. And you may feel like we already heard from them. Well, not everybody did. Some folks were serving this morning in different places and they'd like to hear from them too. All right. So just, you know, maybe they'll say something they didn't say this morning. Amen. And so don't say, well, we already heard from them. Just be excited that they're going to give you something else that'll help you. Amen. And so Brother Knickerbocker's here with Helps Ministries. Brother Tom is no stranger to our church, preaches senior patriots a lot of times for us, and we just appreciate him being here. He's also taught college classes for us, so we appreciate him and appreciate him being here tonight.
Thank Amen. You, Thank you, Pastor, so much. We are glad to be here. We get right to our fellas and have them introduce themselves and give you about five-minute testimonies. We had Brother George here this morning, and he disappeared. I don't know where he's at all. He's over here. But stand up and just turn around so everybody can see your beautiful face. Amen? Amen. There you go. Brother George Kungu from Kenya, Africa. And I was just with him back in August. We had a great time visiting churches and seeing they have a graduate, they had a college there and graduated 17 this year. It was a blessing to be there and see that. And so he already spoke this morning. Brother Joseph Engwe, come up here, brother, if you would, on your way. We're going to introduce the other guys. He's from the Philippines, Northeast Philippines. And we have Gideon Tuam. Stand up, if you would. Just turn around so everybody can see your pretty face. All right? And we appreciate him so much. He's been a great blessing here. And then Lal Biak Zuwala from Myanmar as well. And these guys are a great blessing. You'll hear from them in just a moment here. And so we'll give them each about 5 minutes to give a testimony.
Well, good evening to everyone. It is a great privilege that we are given this time to share our short testimonies. Well, my name is Joseph Angway from the northern part of the Philippines called the Cordillera Administrative Region. My parents came from one of the provinces of this region. And they were pagan in practice and belief at first. But I praise and thank the Lord that a missionary came to the city of Baguio and he started a work there. And so happened that my parents were already there way back 1950s. And I am thankful to God because through this missionary, my parents got saved. And eventually he brought his family, my father brought his family to the church and I am one of them. So I started as a Sunday school kid, but my true salvation was fully realized when I was at the age of 17, and that is before I graduated in high school. So when I graduated in high school, this missionary also started a Bible school. So I entered the Bible school. I was trained in that school. Then in 1981, I graduated. So the missionary also took me in the church to be a part of the workers or staff. So I worked with him, helping in the Bible school, helping in all kinds of ministries. But later on, I saw a community somewhere in the city of Baguio, about 4 kilometers away from the church where we are, where we fetch children, young people, and sometimes adults. And we saw that there are a lot of souls getting saved there, and I was burdened to start also a work in that area. Well, the missionary is with the Lord already, but the work does not mean that it stopped there. We are thankful that we have trained men and women who will continue the work. And we have seen a lot of men and women who graduated in the Bible school, went back to their birthplace or a place where God called them to start a work, and they did work and perform obeying the Great Commission. So we are there at this time, continuing the work of the Lord in spite of the fact that the first instruments of God were already with the Lord. The blessing is that there were trained individuals like us who are continuing the work, obeying the Great Commission. So please pray for us. Thank you.
Good evening. Can you see me? I'd like to share my testimony very concisely. My name is Gideon Tuam. I am from Burma, which is the Buddhist country. And I am married. I have one son, 2 years old, and 11 months, almost 3 years. And we also expect another baby to come. So that is my second greatest blessing from the Lord. And I grew up in a Christian family, but I personally believe Jesus at the age of, I do not know the exact year anymore. I could not recall, but I guess like 13 years, 14 years. That year, I want to make sure that if I die, I will go to heaven. So I went to summer class and study, pay attention, and I understood what Jesus did for me, how he saved me. And the only thing I need to do is just to believe him as my personal savior. And but one day, I questioned myself, if I become a businessman, if I am successful, but one day I will die, or the rapture can come at any time. And I find myself very pointless, meaningless, unless I follow Jesus Christ. And not only that, I remember one of the preacher, he was preaching on Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, that what Jesus said to his disciple, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborer are few. I was convinced that, Jesus is looking for more laborers. And Jesus, I understood at that time, I understood that, Jesus is willing to use anybody who is willing to follow him. So I understood that if I am in, Jesus will take me in, and Jesus will use me. So that motivated me to follow Jesus. And I decided to study Bible school first. So I went to India for 4 years. I finished my Bachelor of Theology. And in 2018, we planted a church in the border, but in Burma side, the border between Thailand and Burma. And we planted a church there. But this year, we extended our ministry in Thailand because we see the need, spiritual need, because of the ongoing war in Burma. A lot of Burmese immigrant flood in Thailand. So we see the need, we see the cry. And so please continue to pray so that we will be successful in reaching and planting Burmese church in Thailand. Thank you so much. God bless you all.
Can you see me also? First of all, I would like to thank you to the pastor and to the church allowing me to share my brief testimony to you all. In 2018, I was here one time and I shared my testimony. And I am very much thankful to the church. You are supporting me by prayer and financially. I am very much glad to you all. May the Lord bless you all. I would like to say thank you to everyone. I hope and believe that through your prayer support and financial help, I will be able to do the Lord ministry in our country more and more. And my name is Lalbiak Zwala. I have only one wife and two daughters. And I was born and grew up in a Christian family. I did not accept Jesus Christ for my own personal Savior and Lord up to my age 14. One Sunday, our preacher preached about the Word of God from John chapter 3, verse 3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The Word of God touched my heart. The message touched my heart. And I accepted Jesus Christ for my own personal Savior and Lord. And after that, the Spirit of God dwell in me, and I have a desire to work for the Lord and to minister for the Lord and to study the Word of God. And I pray, and when I finish my high school, the Lord opened a way for me to go to Bible school in India, Nagaland Bible College. I did my Bachelor of Theology for 4 years, and when I finished my Bachelor of Theology, I came back to my home country and served the Lord till today. Now I am in the ministry for 26 years. And when I started my ministry, I was doing as office clerk, as a translator. And after that, the Lord promoted me as a youth pastor. And after that, the Lord promoted me and lifted me up as a church pastor or ordained pastor. And now I'm looking after our church. As a church, we have planted 5 churches. And also we have established, or we have orphanage home in 2018. We started with 10 children. Now the Lord bless us, and we are growing in the ministry, in our children ministry. Now at present we are having 49 children, boys and girls. We are looking after them and feeding them food every morning, every noontime, every evenings. And we send them to the government schools, and we teach them the Word of God as much as we can. And from our children home, many people have got saved nowadays, and 9 of them are serving in the Lord. Some of them are already grown up and married, and they live for themselves, and they have job also. And that is what I am very much proud of, our children ministry also. I hope and believe that through your prayer support and financial help, in our country, in our Buddhist country, I give a life of Jesus Christ, and people will know and born again and accepted Jesus Christ in the day to come. Thank you. God bless you all.
Amen. Thank you, brother. That was a little surprise, him saying, "Can you see me?" That's the first indication of a sense of humor I've seen in 2.5 months out of him. So that was a... What's that? You already support him. So he just goof off all he wants to. You already support him. That may cause you to stop supporting him, though. You never know. Let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to Matthew chapter 28, if you would please, verses 18 through 20. Very familiar passage of Scripture. I just want to bring a few thoughts tonight I think will be a help for us. And let's all stand together. We've been sitting for a while, and I realized through the years that the brain can only take in what the seat can endure. And so it's good to stretch a little bit. and pay attention here. Matthew 28, 9, verses 18 through 20. Follow along as I read out loud, if you would, please. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you for the reading of your word. Now we pray your blessing upon the preaching of it and the application of it to our lives. We know you've called us to go into all the world, and that's to every believer and to every church. And I pray, God, that you help this church. Lord, it has a tremendous worldwide impact on missions, and we thank you for what's going on around the world. Thank you for the college here and the international students that are preparing themselves to go back to their countries and reach their people for Christ, and where very few others can. We pray, Lord, your blessing be upon this night. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. In this passage of Scripture, there are four alls that are mentioned here. Let me point them out to you. First of all, there's all power is given unto me, Jesus said in verse 18. Secondly, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And then down in verse 20, it says, teaching them to observe all things. And the last thing he says, lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. So there's four alls here that I think are very important to point out as we think about the Great Commission, and that is taking the gospel to the entire world. Now, we are to take the gospel both locally and globally. Every church has that mandate upon itself. If you guys are to be pastors, get a vision for the world, amen? And get a vision for your locality. And God expects us to reach both of them at the same time. And it can be done. It's done all the time. And we just have to remember that God has called us to that. First thing we see here, Jesus said unto them, All power is given unto me. Jesus is the omnipotent one. The college students should know what that means. Amen? All-powerful. He's the all-powerful one. He has unlimited power. He's at their God's right hand, seated there, it says Matthew 26, 64, at the right hand of power. And then he gave his disciples power to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. In John 20, 22, he says, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. And so he gave them the Holy Spirit, and inside of every believer is all the power that we need to do the work of God. And we need to ask God for his power. We need to ask God for the filling of his Holy Spirit. If you read through the book of Acts, you see that the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And look at whatever happens after that time. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with power. And they preached the word of God with boldness. And so we need to ask for the power of God. And you know the power of God must be there before you get to the rest of the Great Commission. We try and get out there and we try to do the work in our own power. And I've done that enough to discourage me. Do it in your own power. Just go out there and let her rip, Tater Chip. I mean, just let's get out there and get her done. I've just got all kinds of energy, and I can just go, 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 go. And I used to have all that kind of energy when I was these guys' age. Now I'm very judicious as how I use my energy. Amen. Amen, older folks. Amen. Now I can do everything I did when I was 17 years old. Just takes me five times as long. Amen. That's about the way it goes. But as we have the power of God, now we can go out and do something. And he says here in verse 19, go ye therefore. The word therefore, and you, most of you know this, whenever you see the word therefore, you ask, what's therefore, therefore? And it's therefore because something else was said before that time that colors what's being said now. And what he just said was, all power is given unto me. Now, we know that Jesus had all power because he had just risen from the dead. The political power of the day, the Roman Empire, put him in there and they put a seal upon him. The religious leaders of the Jews came in and they said, please put a guard on there. This deceiver said that after 3 days of dying, he's going to rise again. Now, this deceiver needs to stay in the grave. Well, if he was a deceiver, it should be no problem, right? I think in the back of their mind, they just knew the truth. They knew something was going to happen. They didn't know what, but they were going to stop it if they could. And death and the devil had Jesus there. They had bound him up, wound him tight. And Jesus started moving that morning. Amen? And his eye flickered open. And death says, you know what? I see some life going on here. And his right toe twitched. And the devil says, have you got him, Death? Death says, I've got him. Securely. He's not moving anywhere. He's moving a little bit. He's not moving much. All of a sudden, he's out. And they lost the war. Amen? Forever lost the war. And we have won. And we've read the end of the book and we win. Amen? And we thank God that we have this unlimited power, that power of the resurrection. You know, I got thinking on the way over here tonight, I said, you know, it's amazing. And throughout the Word of God, you had people in the Old Testament who raised people from the dead. And Jesus raised at least two or three people from the dead in his ministry that we know of. And that's a great deal. But to raise yourself from the dead? Jesus said, I lay my life down that I might take it again. They put him to death, but Jesus got up himself from the death. The Bible says the Lord raised him from the dead. The Holy Spirit had part of the resurrection. The whole Trinity was involved in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and showed his power over sin, death, hell, and the grave. And today he's alive, and we've got a message to tell that's timeless and that's powerful. So don't ever apologize for giving out the Word of God. You can't give it to the wrong person. Amen? So then we have the unlimited power. Secondly, we have the all of unbounded love. Verse 19, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now, we see the love of Christ here shed abroad in this passage when he says all nations. He didn't say just go to the Jews. Now, he sent the 12 just to the Jews the first time. He sent 70 out another time. But then he tells his disciples in this passage of Scripture, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why? Because God has always been interested in reaching people around the world. All through history, read through the Bible and look at all the times the Bible says the whole world, the whole world, the whole world, every nation, every tongue, every people, every kingdom. And God is always reaching out to the lost that they might have eternal life. And he says, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And that's identification with Christ, isn't it? Listen, if you're saved, you've never been baptized, you need to take the step of baptism. Baptism doesn't save you. Some churches think it does, but it doesn't. It just makes them wet. You get baptized again, makes you more wet. But if you get up here and you get baptized, what you're saying is, I am unashamed of Jesus Christ. There was a time I was lost, and I believed in Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I rose to be a new life in Christ, have new life in Christ. Amen? It's a picture of what happened in the old life. It's a picture of what happens in the future. One day they're going to lay my body in the ground. I'm going to die. But Jesus is going to resurrect me at the rapture and take me home to heaven. Amen? And it's a picture also of our personal life now. We need to die daily to our flesh and live again in Christ, and every day have a new resurrection, you might say. I mean, if you messed up yesterday, there's always a new day ahead. Amen? Don't give up. Don't let the devil use your past against you. Get up and say, I'm going to go out and serve God. And so identify with Christ. Don't be ashamed of him. And so it's the love of Christ, the love for the unknown, the love for the unloved, the love for the unsought. And you know, in 2 Corinthians 5:14, it says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Look at that very with me, if you would. 2 Corinthians 5:14. This summer, 2 Corinthians 5:14. I hope I said 2 Corinthians. I can't remember. This summer we traveled with a national pastor who was a Filipino who had been in Cambodia for 22 years and now is going to Ukraine as a missionary. That's a real mind stretcher right there. He and his wife and four teenagers, and these kids could really sing well. We had we just had a blast this summer, just up in New York and Pennsylvania and different places, and got him in all kinds of churches. And it was just a lot of fun this summer. But he preached the message, and he took it off this passage right here. For the love of Christ constrained us. I think I heard this message 17 times this summer, okay, on that passage. But, you know, for the time that I heard it, I still did not understand what it meant. It said, for the love of Christ constraineth us. I've always read that and said, you know, if I'm going to reach people, I've got to work up some love for those people. Because, I mean, some people are unlovely. And I just got to work real hard. And God, give me the love I need for those people. But it's really not me working up the love. It's the love of Christ in me that loves them. And that made all the difference in the world right there. It's not my love for Christ that constrains us. It's the love of Christ in me that constrains them. Let me give you an example of that. I heard a pastor some time ago tell a story of his little daughter and her little doll. And you know, little girls and their dolls are just inseparable. And she loved her little doll. The doll wasn't anything to write home about. You know, it was missing an eye and the hair was frizzy and it just looked awful. And the father said, you know, it's a junky little doll. And the daughter came to him one day, Daddy, Daddy, I've lost my doll and I cannot find it. And he says, well, okay, big whoop, right? Who cares about that stupid doll? And she cared about the doll, and she's crying and his heart's moved for his daughter. And he says, well, listen, sweetheart, we went yesterday, I took you with me and we ran some errands. We went to the post office and we went to the store and we went here and there. And let's go check those places and see if you left your doll in those places. So they did. They went to the three or four different places. No find. Got back home. They said, let's look over the house really good. They checked the house out. Nothing. Finally, he says, you know, I figured somebody must have thrown it away. Maybe my wife threw it away. So he went to the garbage can, and it was smelling by this time, and he's digging through the garbage in there, stinky and sticky and garbage, all kinds of smell and everything, and he's digging through that. He says, I can't believe I'm doing this. And he finds her doll in the bottom of the garbage can, and he pulls it out. It hadn't got too garbagey yet. Cleaned it up best he could, gave it to his daughter. She was so happy, and she gave her daddy a hug. Says, thank you, sweet daddy, I love you. Thank you for my doll. He says, now, he's telling the story, and he says, now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. I did not look for her doll because I loved her doll. I looked for her doll because I loved my daughter. And because I loved my daughter, I was willing to go move heaven and earth to find her doll. Now, the same thing is true with God and us. Think about this. Jesus loves the world. God so loved the world. He's got a love bigger than your love or mine. I don't love the world. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I do not love the world. Well, the Bible says, don't love not the world, neither the things. That's something different. But sometimes I do not love the lost. Let's put it that way. Some of them are just look like garbage. Some of them stink. Why should I wade through this morass of wickedness and vileness and reach somebody who just thumbs their nose at God? Does God still love them? God still, doesn't matter who they are, what their background is, he still loves them. And God says, I love them, and I know you kind of waver on your love for them. But if you will put my love inside of you, I will love them through you, and I will give you a love for them. And I love to reach the lost because I love Jesus. Amen? And because I love him, he loves them, I will love them with his love. You got to have his love to do it because it's not going to work otherwise. Look at people and see how messed up they are and say, Jesus, you love that person. Sometimes we got to look past the exterior to see the soul that we cannot see. It's invisible. And we need to say, God, they have a soul for whom Christ died, and I want to reach them for you. Well, that's the all of unlimited, unbounded loves. Thirdly, there's the all of universal obedience. The all of universal obedience. Notice what he says there again in Matthew chapter 28. He says, and go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Observe all things. That's obedience. If we're going to be, if we're going to love God like we say we love him, it's not hard to obey him. Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Some people get saved, but they want to stop right there. They don't want to get baptized. They don't want to get committed to a church. They say, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Good. I'll just go live my life. Now, that's, God has demands upon you, and rightfully so. He made you. He bought you. He indwells you. He's got three things that he owns you, folks. Amen. By the way, you're either owned by Jesus, you're owned by the devil. Which one do you want? Haven't you served the devil long enough? Didn't you give him all your commitment? Why not give God the same commitment you gave the devil? Some of the best Christians I know, greatest preachers I know, were some of the wickedest people who ever lived. And they said, you know, when I got saved, I figured I'd served the devil long enough. I'm going to pour myself into the work of God like nobody's business because I gave him enough time. I'm giving Jesus the rest of my life. Amen. Well, there's a commitment there because there's a love there. Whom much is forgiven, much is loved. You love people. You love God more. If he's forgiven you a lot, you love him more. Amen. In a lot of ways. The all of universal obedience. Observe all things. Listen, you come to the church to learn the Word of God, to learn the doctrines of Scripture, to learn how to live, to learn what to avoid in your life, to learn what to accept into your life, to learn to what replace in your life. All these things. And Paul says, who's writing this? Matthew says, and Jesus is saying, I've got a lot of things that I want to teach you. Man, you better show up. You're not going to learn them. Amen? Yeah. Observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Oh, listen, there were people that that were sinners. I think of Saul of Tarsus, Paul the Apostle. He was a Jewish terrorist, put it in today's terms. I'm sure there were a whole bunch of Christians in that day that thought, there's no hope for that guy. I hope, God, you take him out. God did take him out, amen. He brought him down, that's for sure, so he could lift him up. And it was hard for that early church to get used to this Jewish terrorist showing up at their door and saying, I'm now a Christian. Yeah, right. That's your way in the door, pal. I know you're going to come in here and report all of us. We're all going to jail. Or you're going to kill us, one of the two. And so it took Barnabas to get the people to accept him. Amen? And did Paul just obey the Lord? Didn't he obey God with all his heart and life? He did. Great, set a great example for the rest of us, didn't he? These Christians were to go out so that the vilest and most hardened murderers and sinners might be changed and taught to observe all things that God had commanded them. And God does that on a regular basis. It's wonderful. No one is too hard that cannot be reached with the gospel. Well, last of all, we have the all of unceasing fellowship. The all of unceasing fellowship. Verse 20, the last part there. I love this. It says, Jesus says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you, what? Sometimes? Always. Always, even unto the end of the world. That's the idea of the fellowship that we have in Christ. If he's with us all the time, you can fellowship with him all the time. You can pray to him anytime. You're driving down the road, that's a good time to pray. Someone cuts you off, it's a good time to pray. Amen? Someone beeps at you when they had no reason to, because you're the best of drivers. Once in a while, I get beeped at, but If I do, I'm sure I deserve it. But even there, how we need to love the Lord, and we need to talk to the Lord all the time. And you know, the commission begins where it ends. It started with Jesus, with his unlimited power, and it ends with Jesus and his unlimited presence with us. Aren't you glad you have the presence of Almighty God working in your heart and life? He says, I am with you always. So it doesn't matter if you're out there knocking doors, or you're starting a church somewhere, or you're preaching a revival meeting, or you're just out shopping somewhere and you have a gospel tract on you and you want to give it out to somebody. You know, you can do that. And God, he says, I am with you always. I am with you always. I'll be with you. Just trust me. There's no trials so dark, no labors though weary, no suffering however painful, no unworthiness however great can break this promise or prevent his fellowship. The fellowship of the Lord is a very important thing, but you know, the fellowship of the Lord is based upon our obedience. We just talked about that, didn't we? Your obedience is based upon your love. And your love is based upon his power. If you have his power, you can have his love. You'll have obedience and you'll have fellowship. You know, anybody that's raised teenagers, anybody raise a teenager here? Okay. 15, 25, 35, 90. Okay. you know, kids are perfect until about 6 years old, you know. You can control their every move. They get a little bit older, it gets tough. But you know as well as I know that if you have a young person who is obedient to you, you have good fellowship with them, don't you? If they are rebellious against you and tell you, no, I will not do what you tell me to do. Boy, we never did that in our house. At least only did it once. Whew. We pick ourselves up out the corner somewhere, you know? My dad says, I'm going to whale you with an inch of your life, nurse you back to health, and whale you again. Amen. Whoa. And sometimes we thought he was doing that, actually. But, you know, praise the Lord, us guys wouldn't have turned out to all be preachers and Christian workmen, you know, for the Lord if he hadn't. I guarantee you that. It's not easy raising five boys, and each of them's got a will of their own, you know. But you know, when we had a good relationship with our parents after things were straightened out again, there was joy. There was peace in the home. We could sit down and talk and laugh together. You could have a sense of humor. Amen? I heard a teacher say this one time to his students in high school. I think this was a Christian school too. I'm not sure, but he was teaching. And he was telling one joke after another, and nobody was laughing. Nobody was laughing. These kids sit there like, yeah, that's really cool. Oh, yeah, that's funny, huh? And he did something I'd never heard done before. He stopped the class. He says, you know what's wrong with you kids? You can't laugh at my jokes. Your heart is not right with God. And you know what? It's so true. When you're right with God, you are at peace with God, at peace with everybody else. And you can enjoy a good laugh. Amen? Ask these guys. We've been laughing for 2.5 months. These guys say, you're so funny, Brother Rickenbacker. And we just make up stuff all the time and just laugh. And we have a good time. You need to do that in the ministry. Amen? You don't laugh once in a while. You end up crying yourself to death. But I like a good... Amen, brother? He's got a good sense of humor. I know that. We've had some good times. Amen. But listen, God is in control of everything. You know that? He loves you. And number one, you need to have his unlimited power in your life. If you're here without Jesus, you need Jesus as your Savior. He has the power to change your life, to set you on a new track. If you have him as your Savior, and then experience his love for others. Love the unlovely. They need somebody to love them. They're hurting. Everybody's hurting in this world. Everybody's got problems in this world. And then learn to obey the Lord in everything. And if you do, you'll have the fellowship that you desire. That's the Great Commission and the four alls. Well, what are you going to do about it? If you're not saved, you need to beat feet down here and at the invitation and give your heart to Jesus Christ. If you're saved, you've never been baptized. Why don't you do that? Why don't you say, forward, I need to get right with God, and I need to do what's right, and I'll do the right thing. Follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Maybe you're struggling in an area of your life. Maybe you have separation. Maybe false doctrine. Maybe you're listening to the wrong people. You need to get things right in your life on that. Do it now. Don't wait. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your wonderful love to us. Thank you for the fact that your word is true. Thank you for the Great Commission. Lord, how so many things involved in the Great Commission, Lord, of going. It's how we go. It's the attitude in which we go. It's the power we have when we go. It's the presence of God that we experience while we go. And Lord, help us to love the lost like you do and be obedient to you as we ought. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand to our feet. If God spoke to your heart tonight, maybe about missions, maybe just about the love you have for people, why don't you step out and come? If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, the altar is open for you. It's an invitation for you to come and receive Jesus Christ for salvation, to know that you know that you know that heaven will be your home. As Brother Jeremiah sings, you step out and come.